Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay and thank you for downloading today's podcast on April 12th. We'll hear from the Gills manager later about their home game against Barrow this weekend. But first, a Sittingbourne woman has had to have her leg amputated after a foot infection developed into sepsis. Her family claims she was left on a trolley in a hospital corridor for 4 days before eventually being seen by a doctor. Nicola has the details for the Kent Online podcast. Nicola, what do we know about how long this patient was waiting?
Well, Geraldine Newing's family first attended an on-call service on March the 25th. The centre deals with urgent medical care problems when GP surgeries are closed. While the 78-year-old was there, she was told she needed urgent attention and they tried for 2 hours but couldn't get through to consultants at the hospital. She went to Medway Maritime on Good Friday, but that's when the long wait began. Her family say she was left on a trolley in the corridor and was only seen by nurses and auxiliaries. They added there were poor washing facilities and at least 10 other patients in the same situation.
And what happened when Geraldine was eventually seen?
Well, she saw a surgeon on Tuesday, April the 2nd. It was at that point her husband was told she needed an immediate operation or she might die. That afternoon, she was taken for surgery and her right leg was amputated from the knee down. She's still recovering in the hospital where she's on a drip and antibiotics fighting off the infection. Geraldine is diabetic and has previously had a couple of strokes. Her son says she's likely to be in hospital for some time.
Have the Trust responded to the family's complaints?
Yes, an official complaint was lodged with Medway NHS Foundation Trust, which runs Medway Maritime. The interim chief nursing officer said they were very sorry that Geraldine was in the emergency department for so long. She also says they are in contact with the family to investigate and learn from their concerns about her care.
Thanks, Nicola. It comes as A&E statistics reveal more than 10,000 people visited the emergency department at Medway Maritime last month. Of those patients, 6,933 waited less than 4 hours for a bed. However, 1,212 waited longer than 4 hours and the wait exceeded 12 hours for 798 patients.
Kent Online News.
A Chatham man's been jailed for sex offences against a woman 6 years ago. Brian Royce was arrested in June 2018 after the victim told a friend what had happened and was encouraged to go to the police. The 54-year-old from Dock Road will spend the next 10 years behind bars. Head to Kent Online to see pictures of a fire that broke out in Sittingbourne Town Centre. Three engines were called to the blaze in a yard just off the high street at around 8:30 last night. It caused huge plumes of smoke that could be seen for miles. There were no reports of injuries. It's not yet known how it started. While you're there at Kent Online, you can see computer-generated images of a suspect following an attempted robbery in Maidstone. A man tried to snatch a phone from a woman who was also pushed to the ground in Clare Park near Tunbridge Road. It happened last month. The man had a distinctive rose tattoo on his hand. A search is underway for a teenager missing from Sturry. Amy Walker is 13. She was last seen in the Memorial Park area of Herne Bay at around 9 o'clock last night. She was wearing dark leggings, a black fluffy coat, a black and white top and Nike trainers. Anyone who's seen her should contact police. A prolific Medway shoplifter has been jailed after being caught on CCTV targeting shops in the towns. Ross Collins hid items in his clothes after going into the Co-op on Delsh Road in Rochester. He also stole alcohol and meat from a shop on Maidstone Road in Chatham. The 41-year-old from Conifer Drive has been locked up for 120 days. A Tunbridge man has been sent to prison after knocking another man unconscious during a bar fight. Sonny Costa attacked his victim from behind, leaving him with a bleed on the brain as well as broken teeth and fractured ribs at the Station House pub in December 2022. The 21-year-old who lives in Scott Road has been locked up for 4 years and 9 months.
Kent Online News.
A Raynham teacher has shared his story of survival as part of air ambulance charity Kent, Surrey and Sussex Buy It For Life campaign.
Yes, it was a normal evening. Had pad thai for dinner that night. Went to bed, all fine. And then 4 o'clock in the morning, I collapsed out of bed, making some unusual sounds. And Chris, you realised that things weren't right and called for the ambulance service to come along. They turned up and they originally thought I was having a stroke. Just because of my symptoms, I was quite agitated and confused. And then I became unconscious, I collapsed further, and then they called out the air ambulance. And they then sort of diagnosed that was actually an aortic dissection that I was actually suffering, or they thought that's what I was having. and stabilised me and then moved me by land ambulance to King's, obviously the major trauma centre at King's. Confirmed it was an aortic dissection there, and then I went under 8 hours of open heart surgery to replace my aorta, which was obviously 4 days then intensive care afterwards and a recovery from there onwards.
That's Giles Phillips. He and his wife Chrissy are now urging others to support the appeal, which has been launched to raise money so it can purchase a second helicopter and secure the future of the service. The charity is hoping to raise £1 million by the end of May. You can find other incredible stories and details on how to support the campaign at Kent Online. Young people from Tunbridge have been hearing from the family of a victim of knife crime in the hopes of steering them away from violence. The group was made up of people who'd previously been in contact with police, including those who have carried a weapon or been involved in a violent incident. They also took part in workshops and role play at the Immersive Choices and Consequences exhibition in London. Work's going to start on adding more emergency lay-bys to smart motorways in Kent following a campaign to make them safer. Nine of the pull-in areas will be added to the M25 between Sevenoaks and the M23 turnoff. Another four will go on the M20 between Swanley and Aylesford. Southern Water is replacing a third of its vehicles with more than 300 vans partially powered by solar panels. The water company says engineers will be able to charge equipment while out and about, getting more done. It supplies 2.5 million people in the southeast. A Kent MP says he welcomes the national spotlight on the sale of counterfeit Royal Mail stamps circulating in the UK. It's claimed fakes made by Chinese suppliers are ending up on online marketplaces. Craig McKinley says he uncovered the scam last April and more needs to be done to tackle these types of illegal practices. And a restaurant in Herne Bay has been given a one-star food hygiene rating after raw chicken was found with ice cubes used for drinks. Inspectors also discovered dirty and rusty equipment at Ramen's Golden Oven. And while there, the carbon monoxide alarm went off after a gas leak. The business has been allowed to stay open, but council's ordered a deep clean.
Kent Online News.
An allotment project is launching in North Kent for children who are homeschooled. Land at Holly Hill near Snodland has been made available by a local farmer and will teach young people about produce and healthy eating. It'll be managed by a group called All Rise Up, which was founded during lockdown to help people with their mental health. Vicky Barker is one of the directors.
It's just past the open space up at Holly Hill. Fortunate enough, the local farmer is kindly letting us use the land. In return for produce, which is such a fair exchange. So that's really good. It's beautiful. It's got the most stunning views. I mean, don't get me wrong, Bluebell Hill has stunning views, but this is something else. So it's really special, really in nature. And we're going to have, I think, a 40 by 20 plot to start with. It's just beautiful. We feel really lucky. So we're going to go up there for the initial dig this Saturday, because obviously the clock's ticking, spring is sort of taking full swing and we want to get things planted and get the children and adults out in nature.
We've done plenty of stories about a huge increase in the amount of children who are being home educated now. How important was it for you to kind of target that group of children and their parents and get them involved in this?
I think really important to have offerings for the home education community. And just because people take a different route, it doesn't mean that we can't provide for them. It's just really important to have these offerings so that children can socialise, learn. Just because it's not the curriculum, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be great life skills. I mean, growing food is a fantastic life skill. And I think you'll see even across schools, they're introducing kind of forest kind of projects. Hopefully they'll follow on with allotments soon, because that would really be great to see that in a mainstream environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's certainly something I never got the opportunity to do at school and really would have loved it, because I'd love to have my own allotment. that's the ambition one day. But what sort of things are you going to be doing there when it's really established then? Because as you say, this is like the first dig at the weekend, so you're only just getting started. What will you be producing when it's, you know, in full swing?
So we'll do the dig and then we'll put some borders and pathways in, and then we'll get some good nutrients in the soil. And then I want to talk to the children about what they want to plant, because, you know, it's all good us growing courgettes and, you know, Brussels sprouts, but they might not eat them. So I think it'll be really good to ask the children, you know, what they want to grow and get them heavily involved in what we're growing on the plot. So I'd say we're probably going to put sort of like an X pathway and then just have sort of four different sections, and get the children involved. But you know, we've got plenty of seeds that, you know, we've acquired, and the folk at the Snodland allotment, they've been really kind and gifted us sort of seedlings from their plot. You know, we've had so much kindness, and that's obviously really lovely. So yeah, we've got potatoes on the go at the moment, raspberry bushes at the other one. So we're quite inspired from the first one as to what we're going to do with the second one. The reason why the home education is going up at the land up there is because it's just more of a safe environment for the children. And if children lose focus, they've literally got half an acre fenced off to run around in, so they can let off that steam if they need to.
And with some of the children who are home educated, I know from friends who've made that decision to home educate their children, it's because they struggle to go back to school after lockdown. We know it affected children's mental health as well. Are you hoping that other than teaching them all about food and where their food comes from and giving them a life skill, this will also improve their mental health too?
100%. So also Danielle Dixon does mindfulness with the children. So a big thing that we're trying to support the children with, and which I think we can all admit we still struggle with as adults, is to manage their emotions. We're raising the children in a very different world right now. So it's really good that, or really a good move, if we can get them sort of like emotionally educated and how to handle things, because you just don't know what curveballs are going to come, and finding solutions to these things. So 100%, it's about getting the children away from technology. Don't get me wrong, technology does have its positives, but it's not the be-all and end-all, and we must connect people with nature, particularly the children and the adults, and just get back to the grassroots great outdoors.
The first dig of the land will get underway tomorrow morning. You can find more details by following All Rise Up Group on Facebook. Mental health charity Samaritans has enlisted the help of Hildenborough's Dame Kelly Holmes for the London Marathon. Sharing her own experiences with negative thoughts, the Olympian hopes to cheer runners on while tackling stigmas. According to the charity, one in five of us will face mental health challenges.
Kent Online News.
Huge plans for a hotel near Canterbury will include lodges, a spa and a treehouse. In order to fund Broome Park Hotel and Golf Resort's expansion, they've proposed 14 new homes. Bosses hope the 17th Century Park will attract more people to the county. The Ashford branch of burger chain Wimpy is set to reopen under new management. The restaurant hasn't been open this year after the previous franchisee stepped down after 30 years in charge. The Tufton Street site will be refurbished before welcoming customers later this year. Bosses in Dover have been awarded a grant to help them conserve and regenerate Western Heights. The £150,000 in funding from Historic England will be used to improve how the maze of forts and tunnels connects with the town and the waterfront. It will also boost volunteering opportunities and launch promotions and events to build visitor numbers. Now, Kent collectors will have the chance to get their hands on some rare items at an auction in Canterbury this weekend. 100 Barbie dolls will be up for grabs, with some tipped to fetch as much as £500. Pokemon cards, model superheroes and a ticket to one of the last Beatles concerts in the UK will all go under the hammer. The auction house manager, Dave Parker, says they're changing with the times.
I'm asked that all the time. What should I be collecting to potentially make a few bob in the future? And the answer to that comes back almost to this. Everybody wants in later life what they couldn't afford when they were 17, 18, 19. When I was a lad, everybody wanted a 3-litre full Capri. But dream on. We were trying to get a flat. We were trying to get engaged. We were trying to just exist. Now the mortgage is paid off. Now we can take a bit of money out on the house. We now got the £40,000 full Capri, because people will raise the money and buy what they couldn't have when they were younger. It's imprinted in their brain. So I think you've got to look at the next generation, or even this generation. What did we lust after in our teens? What was out of the reach then that we could afford now? That's the thing to buy. You buy art because you love art, or you love the artist, or you love the item. Art is extremely subjective. But when you want to make a commercial success of something, you've got to look at the demographic and what they want. And what I would say to people is, for 33 years we've been doing a free valuation day every Friday. If you're not sure what something's worth, come along. We will be honest. Let us tell you, because you never know. On one Friday, in came a Chinese bowl, and a pet, there was a boot fair article that ended up in a charity shop that was bought for £1 that sold from here for £4,000. And that was fairly recently. And I'm amazed at how much stuff's still in attics. You think there can be no more attics, no more barns, no more garages, but still they come. And long may that be the case.
The dolls all belong to the estate of a collector from Deal. A sculpture of a giant apple has been unveiled in King's Hill today. The artwork has been created to celebrate Kent's history of apple growing in what's known as the Garden of England. It's the result of a 3-year collab involving the Turner Contemporary, UCA students and local residents. House sparrows are the number one bird in Kent, according to the new results of a major wildlife survey. 600,000 people took part in this year's Big Garden Bird Watch, which is organised by the RSPB. Starlings came in at number two in the county, with the blue tit at 3. And thousands of people are expected to gather in Gravesend today to celebrate Vaisakhi. It's the largest Sikh festival of the year. There'll be a parade through the town before a huge celebration in the grounds of the town's Gurdwara. Jagdev Singh Verdi is the general secretary there.
It celebrates when Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th Guru, initiated the first 5 Sikhs into the Khalsa, which is the sort of initiated body of Sikhs. So this year is the 325th Vaisakhi event. Guru Gobind Singh initiated the first 5 in 1699. So on Saturday, we'll have a big procession through the town, starting in front of the Gurdwara. It'll go all around the town and then back. Last year, we had nearly 10,000 people attending. And then when we return to the Gurdwara ground, that's where we'll have a big, what we call a Dharmik Mela, a festival. The stage program, a big fun fair, lots of stalls, probably about 60 to 70 stalls with the various charities, public sector bodies, businesses selling their wares, and lots of free food. It will be a hub of activity, and we're quite pleased. I think the weather forecast is quite good as well. So I'm really looking forward to it.
And I've been along to Vaisakhi before and been into the Gurdwara. It's absolutely stunning. And as you say, there's always so many people there. Who do you like to come along? Because it's a festival open to everyone, isn't it?
Most Sikhs who live locally and also from far and wide come. But we do welcome all communities. And you will find that everybody comes. All we ask is that behave according to the protocol, so that when you're in the Gurdwara, you cover your head, you take your shoes off, and during the procession, everything is very peaceful and joyous. You can join in, but there's absolutely no alcohol or tobacco or any intoxicating substances. When we go on the procession, it's called the Nagar Kirtan, which is basically taking the Gurdwara into the town. And so the procession is treated as if you are in the Gurdwara. It will be led by a large float on which we will have a Guru Granth Sahib, our holy writings, our everlasting Guru. There'll be readings and singing of Shabads from that float. And then there'll be lots of lorries behind with the different people. There'll be a Punjabi school children on one lorry. There'll be a children who learn singing of Kirtan and playing tabla, the drums. On another lorry, there'll be a ladies group on another lorry, and following at the end, we'll have some cultural groups and also our sports teams. So our karate club, which have been winning international awards recently, they'll have a lorry. Football club will have a lorry, basketball club. It'll have a whole range of participants. But thousands of people will be walking as well.
And a very colourful procession. I've seen pictures in the past as well.
Yes, indeed. Everybody likes to dress brightly. A lot of people will dress in orange, the traditional Sikh colour at Vaisakhi. Colourful and happy event.
The procession will leave from the Gurdwara at around 11:30. You can see details of the full procession route in the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
And now with a roundup of everything that's going on in Kent that you need to know about, here's Sam Laurie.
We're starting to come into full theatre season now. The pantos are long gone and the summer festivals are yet to start. And that means there are some fantastic plays and musicals touring the country over the next couple of months. So, I won't hang about, let's get straight into which shows are in Kent this weekend. First up, Grease, a personal favourite of mine and practically every other woman I know, is back on the road and coming to the Churchill Theatre in Bromley this weekend. The musical, which became a smash hit after the 1970s film and features songs like You're the One That I Want and Summer Nights, opens today and runs until next Saturday. You also have one last chance this weekend to catch the full Monty. Yes, the 90s cult classic of British cinema has been turned into a stage show starring X Factor singer Jake Quickenden and former EastEnders actor Danny Hatchard. It's only showing until Saturday, so you'll have to be quick. And if you need any more excuses to book tickets, one of our Kent Online reporters went along to see the show this week and gave it a huge thumbs up. You can read the review on What's On if you haven't already. But if this weekend is just too short notice for you, I'll give you a tip for next week. Blood Brothers opens at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells from Tuesday until next Saturday. The stunning show has won a bucket load of awards since its debut in the 1980s, and it's still one of the country's best loved musicals, even today, so make sure you don't miss it. Now, just because we're raving about the theatre doesn't mean that music won't get a look in this week. Fans of The King will want to head down to Leascliffe Hall in Folkestone on Saturday as One Night of Elvis, the tribute show, comes to town. On the same night, rock band The Subways will be at the Forum in Tunbridge Wells, and for anyone who remembers punk and indie club nights in the mid-noughties, you'll probably know a few of their tunes, so why not relive the era? There are still a handful of tickets left. Speaking of punk, music lovers who can't make a gig this weekend can always spend the day at the Folkestone Art Gallery to check out the new punk and pop art exhibition. The display is open until next weekend, is free to enter, and showcases artwork by Damien Hirst, Peter Blake, Banksy, and more. There are more than 150 pieces of artwork on display, including iconic album covers from the likes of David Bowie, The Beatles, The Sex Pistols, Led Zeppelin, Blur, and more. And last but not least, if you want to get out in the fresh air over the next few days, Hever Castle's Spring Celebration is just about to bloom. The event is a chance to enjoy all things springtime, from flowers and blossoms to seasonal wildlife. It officially begins on Monday, but plenty of the flowers will already be on show this weekend. Right, I think I've covered most of the big ones for this weekend, so I hope you have a wonderful next couple of days. And if you can, book some tickets to a show and help support your local theatre.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham welcome promotion chasing Barrow to Priestfield this weekend. There are just three games left of the season and the Gills' chances of reaching the playoffs are all but over. Our reporter Luke Cordell has been speaking to defender Connor Masterson.
It's quite clear that you're not giving up on the playoffs, even if it seems to be quite remote at the moment.
Yeah, exactly, because I think, like we've just said, stranger things have happened, and if you win these three games, and okay, I think we're 5 points behind Crawley at the minute, but Crawley have how many games in hand? One?
We've got one extra anyway.
Yeah, but I was looking at their fixtures, they're quite difficult, and you could say ours are difficult, but we believe in ourselves and we're going to go on and try and win those games, and then you never know because everybody's beating everyone at the minute, so why not go on a run?
Fair enough. Obviously it's a team sport, so it focuses on what the team achieves, but you personally, you've played a lot of games. I mean, you've got helped a lot of clean sheets, you've scored goals as well amongst the top scorers.
Yeah.
Personally, you must have been quite satisfied with what you've done this season.
Yeah, I am, but I'd rather throw all that away and get the team promoted, if I'm honest. So that's what we're going to focus on. And of course, yeah, that's why I came to Gillingham, though, if I'm honest. I wanted to. They gave me a chance, Gillingham Football Club, and I wanted to repay them and give the best performances I possibly could for the team. And yeah, I'm glad people think on the outside that I've done all right this season.
You're obviously still young, you're still learning. You mentioned the sending off the other day as well. Was it just frustration in the end, was it? Because you had the challenge and then the shirt ball.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have played. I wasn't fully fit, if I'm honest, but you know, that's another learning curve as well. And yeah, obviously it's frustrating. But like you said, I'll learn from it, and can only stand me in good stead in some way, I think.
I guess you want to play him a minute, don't you? It's difficult to say to the manager, I'm not fit.
Yeah, it is. And I didn't want to let my team down. That's what I had in my head. So maybe when I look back at it, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But listen, you can, if, buts, whats, maybes, whatever. It is what it is now, and we just have to focus on Barrow and giving our best on Saturday.
And as a team, it's been quite inconsistent, hasn't it? I suppose that Barrow game was one of those inconsistent performances. You'd done well to get up to 7, yeah. I think, before then, and then lost it.
Yeah, exactly. We have been inconsistent, and it's tough, obviously. And we look around the room, and I look at the players we have in the team, and why hasn't it worked? Why has it worked? But you can't really focus on that, because it's the past now.
Mm.
Think about it. We win these three games, and Crawley don't win. Or they win one game out of three or four games they have left, and we're in the playoffs, and everybody thinks we're heroes, you know what I mean? So there's no point thinking about the past right now, and we're just going to focus on Barrow.
And we've also heard from head coach Stephen Clements.
But unfortunately, we haven't scored on a regular basis enough. Now, there's been occasions where we have done it. I know we've scored 3 goals on 3 occasions this season. Now, I believe that hadn't been done for a long time at this football club. I know that we've come from behind on, 2 or 3 occasions, which again hadn't been done at the football club for a while. So there is signs of improvement. And I do believe that we do create more than when I first arrived. So there is some positives, that is the positives, but obviously there is some negatives as well. And we have to all look at ourselves, and I'm included in that, where we haven't been good enough, especially in the running, where we've let a lot of people down. And we can only apologise for that. It hasn't been for a lack of effort. But I do believe, if you don't score enough goals, you are going to have inconsistent results. And I think that's where we've been. Look, I said last week, you have to concentrate on the next game. Obviously, everybody looks in this game a long way ahead and what happens at the end. But for me, as a professional sports person and being in for a long, long time, you just have to take care of the business coming up at the weekend. And that's what we've got to try and do. But while it's mathematically possible, no, we're not giving up, of course.
Midfielder Dom Jeffries will be available for the game this weekend after more than 2 months out injured. He hasn't played since the end of January after tearing a thigh muscle. Staying with football, and a memorial match for 2 young footballers who died in separate car crashes is being held by Maidstone United's disability team. Rhys van Sertema and Charles Bolt, who were both 20, played for the team and died within a year of each other. The Maidstone Raiders game will kick off at 2 p.m. tomorrow at the Gallagher Stadium. Briefly to cricket, Kent head to Essex for their latest game in the County Championship today. It follows a draw against Somerset in the opening match of the season. Now, that's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, why not check out the latest review from The Secret Drinker?
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.